Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for the 24th of September in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is hour 2 of 2. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country. Without further ado, our special guest, Mr. Pete Sapp, president of the National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org. Welcome back, my friend.
Always great to be here.
All right, the election's coming up, and man, it just seems like everything is goofy. What I mean by that is they're just talking about things that don't really matter. They're talking about, oh, Donald did or did not this, and Trump did, you know, or Biden did or did not that, and man, we're not going to have a debate, and yes, we are, and what about the weightier matters, like, hey, the American people are suffering without jobs right now, and you know what, we need to do something without promoting flat-out socialism to continue to restore the economy, and we've got weighty matters, Pete.
Yeah, we certainly do. I mean, a lot of these weighty matters have been set up by Congress itself. There are many expiring tax relief deadlines that were enacted back in 2017 but are now going to end in 2021, 2022. And that's not to mention a lot of the tax relief programs that were enacted in response to the pandemic. And unfortunately, they've not necessarily been broad enough. They haven't been deep enough. They aren't getting to folks who really need it. So Congress has to do a better job. Instead, they're probably going to leave town before the election without some kind of legislative response. Now, by a legislative response, I'm not talking about pouring more money out of an empty pocket and simply spending more tax dollars on loans or grants or subsidies, but rather letting people keep more of their own money rather than sending it to Washington. That's a simple concept that can deliver a lot of hope right now.
All right, this is an interesting headline on your website. It says, RSC thoughtfully addresses the future of work with new task force report. What's this one about?
This is a report from the Republican Study Committee, a conservative caucus in the House of Representatives, and they made a bunch of recommendations about not only how to accommodate workers in the current pandemic crisis, but going forward 5, 10, 20 years, what's the economy going to look like for work, and how can public policy get out of the way?
And by the way, these are the exact weighty matters I'm talking about, Pete.
Yes, they absolutely are, because if Congress doesn't think about these things in advance, what we're going to get is a patchwork of really terrible tax policies and regulatory policies that aren't going to support where the economy is going. One example, this is something called the new GIG Act, in order to accommodate the regulatory challenges of the gig economy, people who drive for Uber or Lyft or DoorDash or do other sorts of things that aren't a traditional workplace environment. Well, California is already trying to quash this by imposing regulations saying anyone who is connected to these organizations has to be treated like a traditional employee. Well, that's not the way the gig economy works. It's often temporary, irregular hours that the people who work choose. And in that
I work for both Uber and Lyft, and then I go into the restaurant late at night as a cook, and so I've got three gigs, right?
Yes, absolutely. And California,
in that case, the point is, who's my employer? And should every employer take the overhead for limited flexible hours?
That's right. And should every employer have to pay all of these taxes as if they had this person on the job 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week? California seems to think, yeah, sure, we should do that. We should go back 50 years to when there was no gig economy, there were very few self-employed people, and that's it. Well, the U.S. Congress, through this Gig Act, is saying, no, we need a nationwide standard that is going to allow people the freedom to participate in the gig economy and people who want to hire them don't necessarily have the burdens of taxes and regulations as heavy as if they were an employer.
So the question also becomes, if I live in Utah and I work for an employer in California, where is my work considered being conducted and what taxes do I pay? And if we're not careful, we get double taxation and or confusing taxation. Because what jurisdiction am I, quote, subject to as a remote, quote, gig worker, right?
Yeah, that's right. And this can be a very difficult question, especially in the pandemic. One example, of course, was that volunteers came to New York State during the beginning of the pandemic from the medical profession, from the nursing profession, what have you, to try and help all of the suffering folks who had contracted COVID. Well, the governor had said, well, if you're coming in from out of state, even though you reside in another state, you normally work in another state, you're going to be taxed for the time you spend here in New York as if you were earning money. Well, that's ridiculous.
Well, and the problem is that managing that alone is a nightmare, not to mention the unfair taxation to say, look, I get oftentimes employers pay me based on where I live. If I live in New York or, say, San Francisco area or San Jose, I'm going to get paid a lot of money because they know it's expensive to live there. If I live in, say, New York or Missouri somewhere, Arkansas, you know, the pay kind of relates. And so if I'm all of a sudden subject to this out of control of their taxation jurisdiction, now what? I might not even have the money to comply or
That's
enough
right.
of a paycheck to take home now, right?
That's right. And of course, you can't vote in that jurisdiction that's taxing you either. You don't even have a voice.
So now we've got taxation without representation.
That's right. That's right. And it's happening in more than a few places now. Massachusetts, for example, a lot of workers from New Hampshire commuted into Massachusetts every day. They were assessed a special tax for doing that. Well, those New Hampshire workers are staying at home now in New Hampshire, working remotely, but Massachusetts still wants the tax. What are we going to do about that? We've got to limit these powers and clearly define boundaries.
Are there a lot of people engaged in this? Because it seems to me that this is a great futuristic report. It's certainly worth keeping an eye on. They're bringing up a lot of good things, like getting rid of what, the Bacon Act, and trying to repeal that to make a difference. There's a lot of good things in the works, but they seem to be disconnected from time and space. I guess that's no surprise for Congress, Pete, but what the heck? I mean, I appreciate the report and the future look, and I think they're right. I think the efforts they're talking about are good. But it's so far removed from day-to-day and reality and time and space and the people that I don't know how it connects.
Yeah, that's a problem, Sam. And I think what we need to do is get more focus on what can be done in the here and now, take baby steps. We actually can take those steps, even though it seems that nothing's going to happen before the election, and whether or not there's going to be a so-called lame duck session before the end of the year, nobody knows. But, hey, we've come out with the 10th installment of what we call our no-brainers legislative list. In other words, bills that have either passed one chamber or have strict and serious bipartisan support or have been languishing for years and years, even though they've passed one chamber or the other. These are bills that Congress could act on very quickly. They could attach them to any package that they're considering. And they could do this before the end of the year, before this Congress is out.
And they ought to. They ought to, because we don't know what the makeup will look like next time. So now's their time to strike a real statement about who they are and what they've accomplished, Pete.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, one of them, and I'll just go over this quickly, the Remote and Mobile Worker Relief Act. We were just talking about this issue. The legislation is essentially saying that a taxpayer who resides in a state for less than 90 days is not subject to that state's tax if they live someplace else. Very simple change, something that has bipartisan support. You've got Sherrod Brown of Ohio, Democrat, John Thune, a Republican of South Dakota, sponsoring it. We can get that done.
What is it called, the Remote and Mobile Worker Act?
The Remote and Mobile Worker Relief Act. S-3995.
Of 2020?
That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the time to strike while the iron's hot, I'll tell you that. Now, this annual no-brainers list that you guys have. It's, what is it, the 8th annual one?
10th annual.
Oh, 10th.
10 years, and we have 10 bills. And over those 10 years, of course, we've had a few repeats on the list from year to year, but we've been successful in passing several of them. We've been able to pass limits in the past on congressional allowances. We've been able to do various reforms to how the budget process works. We've been able to cut back on certain wasteful spending projects at Department of Defense and Department of Commerce and Interior. So it's possible to get these bills passed. What it takes is just a little energy and initiative from these lawmakers and a little respect for taxpayers and a little action from the part of taxpayers reminding lawmakers of their obligation.
10th annual no-brainers list. Ladies and gentlemen, 10 bills we can all get behind. What I like about the National Taxpayers Union is these bills are common sense. They're not Republican or Democrat or left or right or liberal or conservative, whatever fault line you want to find. These things relate to anybody who says, hey, let's be frugal with our money. Let's spend it wisely. Let's acknowledge that there is a proper role of government that does need funding. But let's not overspend, and let's come together for solutions as Americans, without hyphenation. When we get back, we'll have Pete respond to that, and then we'll see what else is up on the docket. What can we be doing right now in election time? Most people think it's kind of like halftime and you don't do anything. Far from the truth. Quite the contrary. We'll talk about it with Pete Sepp, president of NTU.org, in seconds.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheepherder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine. Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
All right, a lot of people believe it's halftime because elections are coming up, ladies and gentlemen. All you do is sit back and cook popcorn and, hang out, man. Quite the contraire, huh, Pete Sepp?
Absolutely the contraire.
We've got to get involved. We can make a difference. We need to put pressure on to say, hey, there are 10 bills that we can absolutely slam dunk. These are not partisan. There's no divide lines, Pete.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, here's another bill I'll just bring up, the Stop PPE, Personal Protective Equipment Taxes Act. This is from Senator Pat Toomey, Republican of Pennsylvania, Senator Maggie Hassan, Democrat of New Hampshire. Well, their bill is saying they're going to suspend all the tariffs imposed by a Section 301 of the Trade Act of 1974 on durable medical equipment. So that means if we need to find a source for masks or gloves or whatever, people are permitted to do that without having a tariff burden placed on them. That seems common sense to me.
Kurt, you want to respond to this one? All right. Well, I'm trying to take a phone call, hoping Kurt would take over, but he's missing in action, ladies and gentlemen. All right, I'll tell you what, Pete. What can we do, though? People feel just disenfranchised. They're like, hey, I'm stuck at home with a mask, and I'm trying to fight all these taxing jurisdictions. You got sales tax galore everywhere that my company's got to comply with. I got employees that I don't know how to handle because they can't come in. I've got, you know, I need to find work in different places because now people have quit or people are sick and I'm shorthanded. And all these things are really happening in real time. It's not like we can just hang out and go, hey, man, after the election, come January, we'll work on it. Now, the Congress critters can do that because they get paid no matter what. But the rest of us can't handle that.
That's right. That's right. Well, there are a number of things, of course. Small businesses especially, yes, they need to investigate their property tax challenge and appeals processes at the local level. You know, I've heard from a lot of small business owners who are saying, this is insane. I'm getting sent a property tax bill as if my business activity has been entirely normal these past 6 months. That's just not possible. Many businesses, especially restaurants, have been terribly, terribly hampered by the downturn economy. And so we need to be aware of that, and business owners can use this property tax challenge process right now to try and claw back some of the money that government has clawed from them. It's not going to work in every jurisdiction, but there are some jurisdictions where deadlines have not expired, and you can do that. That would be very, very important, especially for a business that might be on such a thin margin that several thousand dollars of property tax relief could really matter to them. And, of course, it's important to do early voting in this election, not necessarily on candidates. I'm talking about ballot measures, thousands of them across the country that affect taxpayers, some good, many bad.
Hey, it's Pete, so what do you think of President Trump's effort to try to decrease payroll taxes temporarily? You know, the idea is a great one, but if you make it temporary, and then if you got to pay it back, then the employers have this complicated thing to manage. I think it was a bad start, yes, sir, to a good idea.
Yeah, I don't think that's necessarily going to work the way the president intends it to, because there's very little pickup rate of this, I guess you could call it postponement or delay or temporary abatement of payroll tax, precisely for the reasons you said, Sam. You got to pay it back. And it's only going to last for a little while.
Why don't we just drop it by a percent or two permanently and call it good?
Yeah. I mean, and that's right. Employers are looking for a stronger signal over the long term that, yeah, problems are happening right now because of the pandemic economically. But if you can just pull it out for maybe most of 2021, half of 2021, the tax climate is going to support you right as you're recovering. You're not going to get hit with a bigger bill.
All right. I want to know what else is on the hot seat or the deck right now. What else is being worked on that we need to know about, be aware of, that we might be able to influence or be part of, sir?
Well, going back very briefly to the no-brainers list, here's one. This is a piece of legislation in the House called Family Savings Flexibility Act. So folks who might have flexible spending accounts, those things where you can set aside some of your money in a tax-free account to pay dependent care and all of those co-pays that your health insurance won't. Well, many of those are use-it-or-lose-it propositions. The IRS basically gives you into a few months into the following year to use your balance or you forfeit it. Well, this bill would say no. People who need to roll over those balances, maybe save them for a rainy day, we're going to let them do that and reward them for it. So you're not going to lose your money in those flexible spending accounts when the new year happens. This is sponsored by Brad Wenstrup of Ohio, Republican, Cindy Axne of Iowa, Democrat. So again, bipartisan legislation, an easy fix that could help a lot of people.
So the idea here, ladies and gentlemen, is back the Family Savings Flexibility Act. Again, I don't like government designating what my money is to be used for. So I don't really like 401ks and IRAs and savings accounts for this and that and college and education and health, and because the government dictates with all kinds of complicated rules about how and when and what. And so I'm 53 years old. I got a 401k and an IRA, and I can't touch them until I'm 59 and a half. Even if I may have health problems and good reasons to touch the money, I can't. Now, that's supposedly to protect me, but protect me from what? What if I die before I even get to 59 and a half because I can't use the money for my health purposes? Although I got a bunch of money in my health savings account there, and I couldn't use it all that year, so I lost it, and now I need it in January 3rd of the next year, and I don't even have it anymore, and it's crazy, Pete.
Yeah, it is. And these kinds of patchwork rules have to be swept away. And here's an important opportunity, too, at the state level as well as the federal level. A lot of really burdensome regulations on everything from the use of telehealth so that you can see your doctor through an online visit. You know, there were laws and regulations in place that had so many requirements for secure connections and the like. These are government regulations that it was very difficult for things like telemedicine to get a foothold. Well, it's the same thing with this bill on flexible spending accounts. Why have these regulations at all? Nothing bad happened when they were suspended during the COVID-19 emergency. What's going to happen to the world when we recover from COVID-19 that would give us any reason to reimpose these regulations? That's an opportunity we have to work on right now and say the sky didn't fall because all you regulators weren't out imposing your will on businesses and individuals. So why do we want to bring back these rules at all?
Amen to that. In President Trump's defense, though, he's been trying to reduce a lot of the regulations. There's just so many to get to, sir.
Yes, yes, there are. And I think this president, no matter what else you think, positive or negative, has done an incredible job on cutting back regulations. And a couple that passed last fall that's going to create petition processes for people that have been persecuted or affected by regulations, that's going to pay dividends for years on end if we can preserve those regulatory reforms. And that's a big if. We got to work hard for them.
All right, I'm backing President Trump. There's been no president in my lifetime that's been so pro-life, so tax-reducing, so regulating-reducing, so willing to put constitutionalists on the Supreme Court. I could go on and on. But what do you think from a National Taxpayers Union? I know you can't pick presidential sides, but the world looks a lot different if we have President Trump relating to taxes versus Joe Biden related to taxes. So answer it not from a political point of view, but from a tax reality point of view going forward, Pete.
Yeah, I mean, to take a look at their platforms, Mr. Biden would reimpose higher tax rates on American businesses, 28% or more. They're currently 21. Individuals would be paying higher tax rates, especially small business owners. The health care and green energy plans that Vice President Biden has proposed, former vice president, could easily lead to things like a value-added tax imposed on everything we buy. To cover the kind of wish list that Biden has been drawing up will require higher middle-class taxes. Do not be fooled by these promises that only the rich will pay. The middle class will pay.
In fact, the middle class will take an absolute beating.
Yes.
I hope we can move along the roads of the Rand Paul sentiment, which is, hey, we got tax reform 1.0 done. Let's work on 2.0, Pete.
Amen to that. We got to get to work.
I know you got to fly because you got a plane to catch. Godspeed. Thanks so much for taking time with us. Our prayers are with you and the National Taxpayers Union, sir.
Always a pleasure.
There he goes, Pete Sepp, president of NTU.org. Become a member today. I'm telling you, they do great, great work for all Americans. It's just tremendous stuff that they do. Hang tight. Quick pause. Save a curtain seconds.
Pursuing liberty. Using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump under fire from Democrats and some establishment Republicans for not committing to a peaceful transition of power if he was to lose November's election. During a White House briefing yesterday, the president said we should see what happens, appearing to bring up his frustration again over mail-in ballots, suggesting they would be a fraudulent disaster. The president also raising eyebrows by suggesting that it would be up to the White House to approve a coronavirus vaccine, indicating he could overrule the FDA. But Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar assured on NBC's Today Show,
politics will play no role whatsoever in the approval of a vaccine.
First-time jobless claims were up by a relatively slight 4,000 last week from the week before. And this is USA Radio News.
Balance of nature, changing the world one life at a time.
Your products are great, absolutely. You know, general aches and pains I have from because I work outside a lot, gone. It's almost magic. It's almost too good to be true, you know, but it is. It's very true. Dr. Howard's done a fantastic service by creating this.
I work in healthcare, and I haven't gotten even a runny nose. I'm walking more. I'm exercising more. I'm doing more yoga. I'm pretty convinced that this is something to do with it. And you know what? I will never be without it because this was painless and easy. It's amazing. I'm telling you, it's amazing.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com today and use discount code USA.
Protests, some of them turning violent, held in several cities overnight since Kentucky's Attorney General announced yesterday that none of the three Louisville police officers who fired their guns during a deadly no-knock warrant drug raid will be charged with Breonna Taylor's death. One officer is facing endangerment charges after bullets he fired entered a neighboring apartment during that raid in March. At a protest in Chicago last night,
a message is sent again in America that black and brown lives mean nothing.
Two officers shot in Louisville there during a protest are expected to survive. Weekly jobless claims up for the first time in more than a month, not by much. The Labor Department reporting 870,000 workers filed first-time claims last week, 4,000 more than the previous week's revised total. Biggest increases came in Indiana, Kansas, and Illinois. You can find us online at usaradio.com.
All right, back with you live. We got so much to cover, so little time to get it done. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, first off, I guess the governor of California, whacked out as he is, man, Governor Gavin Newsom. Guy's a nut, man. Anyway, turns out that I guess they're going to ban gas vehicles by, what, governor executive order? California governor signs order stopping sales of gasoline cars by 2035, ladies and gentlemen. This is the most impactful step our state can make to address climate change, Kurt. You want to respond to this?
Well, that's what he said. Apparently, you know, I don't know if they're going to have like a sign at the border that says, hey, what kind of car you got? You know, if it's a gas one, you got to just leave it here or what. But, yeah, the headlines, you know, are saying Joel B. Pollack writing for Breitbart says they're going to ban sales of gas-powered vehicles effective in 2035. Said that Newsom said that the audacious goal was necessary to achieve the state's goal of 100% renewable energy by 2045. It's an executive order that would eliminate the sales of internal combustion engines and move to electric vehicles, a move that he said would create jobs and allow California to dominate the market and address climate change. Those who currently own gas-powered vehicles would still be allowed to operate them and to sell them on the used market. You know, I mean, California's just becoming more and more the land of fruit and nuts, huh, Sam?
Yes, indeed, my friend. It's just, I don't understand it. But again, Kurt, look, I told you, they are combining climate change discussions or mandates with COVID mandates to absolutely change the affairs of the nation, to change the way the checks and balances work, to change everything that we hold dear, Kurt. I don't know how to respond exactly to this, but here's what I'm saying. You can say that's by 2035, and oh, don't worry, that's a long way away, and they could change their mind, and you're right. But the idea that a governor can just order this, a single man can just go, hey, statewide, 40-plus million people, you can't buy a gas car anymore. And you go, what will that do for the nation? You go, where does he get this authority? You say, you know what, climate change is still a debated issue. Now, if you're a denier, they want to arrest you. Now, there can't be a Holocaust denier, can't be a climate change denier, can't be a COVID denier either. There can't be a truther, can't be a birther, can't be a... and they just control the narrative right down the list. It's out of control. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think people are going to take that land down? And when will it come to a state near you, Kurt?
Well, we've seen it go from state to state in California, as you've often reminded us, as a, what do they call it, a bellwether state, where it, you know, starts there and then it moves on. But I'll tell you what, I think if you're in California, you ought to leave and you ought to head to safer places. But one thing is, they are going to get back to more back to nature, Sam. I mean, a lot of those people, if they just got electric cars, they're going to be walking a lot more. They're going to be not having to worry about air conditioning as much, you know what I mean? I mean, with their brownouts and blackouts and all that kind of stuff. So I guess if you want to get back to nature, you know, maybe California's a place for you, Sam. You know?
Yes, sir. Speaking of climate change, though, and the psychosis going along with it, Kurt, you have a headline just recently that says this. 11,000 scientists warning of, quote, climate emergency turned out to be just 11,000 random people, buddy. It was a total managed lie, buddy. There was no study. What's up with that, Kurt?
Well, Sam, don't you know the end justifies the means, you know, here. It's all about saving the planet.
Kurt, and, it was a lie. So,
well, yeah, but Sam, I mean, it's got these good reasons, don't you think? I mean, you know, I mean, a lie goes a long way to protect the planet, right? As we kill babies, you know, right and left.
I don't even know how to respond to this, but I brought up that climate story because it relates. The bottom line is, Kurt, they're just fudging the data, fudging the numbers, and then saying if you deny this manipulated lie, then you, my friend, are subject to possible jail. And you can say, well, that's crazy, Seth. Well, they're going to put me in jail if I don't even wear a mask, buddy. What if I violate climate change mandates? Ladies and gentlemen, they got a two-pronged agenda here that's going to take this nation down, change the very affairs of the nation, jettison the checks and balances, and in the name of, quote, fear driven by climate change and coronavirus, the communists are going to destroy this nation if we the people don't stand up. Literally, California Governor Gavin Newsom going to stop sales of gasoline cars by 2035. 11,000 scientists warning of, quote, climate emergency. Turns out it was just 11,000 random people. It wasn't a real study. It was an absolute lie. But, of course, who's speaking out about that, Kurt? Nobody. All right, ignore the weightier matters. We got to talk about Hillary. Oh, this is quite weighty as well, since she runs around free. Two Hillary Clinton, Lebanese Americans, they're businessmen donors, if you will, I guess they got indicted, Kurt, for funneling illegal cash in the 2016 campaigns.
Wow. there's a new one. And, of course, Hillary's going to go down because of this. I mean, she's going to pay the price. I mean, she's, you know.
She's going to hang out with Joe Biden, buddy, free.
Yeah.
You are free to go. Point. In fact, any allegations that Hillary Clinton was involved, we've done a research study there, come back. We're just not sure, Kurt. We can't get to the bottom of it now.
Well.
It's crazy town. But what do you expect in the Republic where we reward criminal activity? And anybody who's doing evil's good, good's evil. Whatever's right, we reject. Whatever's wrong, we back. And it's crazy. So Devin Nunes, what's that, Congressman Kurt?
Yeah, Congressman from California.
Yes, sir. Slaps CNN with $435 million defamation lawsuit, Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, question for you. What's happened with that? I always hear everybody files all these lawsuits, right? But I don't hear any, like, results from the lawsuits hardly. Do we know what's up with
you
that?
You know the old phrase where they say the wheels of justice grind slowly? You know, we have
so
seen
slow
some...
I might not even be alive to see the result, ladies
right.
and gentlemen.
That's exactly right. But, you know, we have seen some, at least in my opinion, some good results. I've seen, for example, the last little while, Sarah Palin's, you know, suit against the New York Times has been allowed to continue. I think I've seen, you know, settlements for the Covington kid, you know, there with, you know, a number of different news entities.
Yeah, there's a couple of them, but by
that.
And large, I just don't hear. Like, what's up with Judge
Well,
Ray Moore's
lawsuits?
Well,
they don't want to cover that. That's a good question, you know, you know, they seem to go so slow in this, you know, world of speedy trials, you know.
They only go slow for the truth seekers, Kurt. They go really fast when they want to slam dunk and throw you in prison.
Good point, Sam.
You know what I mean? This is very strange indeed. Anyway, our prayers are with Devin Nunes. I think CNN's flat out of control. I mean, the CNN commentators are calling for literally blowing up the whole system. In America. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're crazy, Kurt.
Good point, Sam.
And we're saying, oh, man, we got to go back to the law and order and back to the Constitution. They're like, blow it up. And then people are like, you guys are radicals. Yeah. What?
That's the way it works, Sam. Up is down and down is up, you know.
Yes, it's amazing. There's a big story about fires, speaking of climate change, that we need to kind of highlight, Kurt, that's really worth discussing. Mm-hmm. It's a huge, huge article. Headline says, West Coast wildfire smoke drifts to the East Coast. Did you see this?
No, I didn't. But, you know,
it's huge.
A whole lot of burning going on.
I heard that.
California.
It says, how bad are the 90 wildfires burning currently engulfing the West Coast region? Suffice it to say, Kurt, the smoke has drifted all the way to New England, buddy. Some 3,000 miles away.
They're not going to, you know, point out the idea that, looks like the Earth's air is kind of all shared. This whole idea of, you know, we don't want, you know, like manufacturing plants here. We want them over in China where, you know, they can do that because we need clean air here.
They say even worse, the fires have now killed at least 36 people. Yeah,
well,
tens of thousands
have
been forced to evacuate their homes and more. We'll talk about it in seconds on your radio.
You know something is wrong when the media, global corporations, and governments are all colluding on a narrative that just doesn't add up. Do you seek truth, no matter where it leads? Want to understand how the world really works? Then take the red pill and register for the Expo of the Year. Come to G. Edward Griffin's Red Pill Expo, October 10th and 11th, on Jekyll Island, Georgia, birthplace of the Federal Reserve. And hear from Del Bigtree, G. Edward Griffin, Dr. Andrew Kaufman, David Icke, Alex Newman, Dr. Bradford Weeks, Sheriff Mack, John Rappaport, Tim Ray, and many more. Register to attend or live stream at home with friends and family at redpillexpo.org. That's redpillexpo.org. Because you know something is wrong.
Transport back in time to our nation's founding at the Freedom's Light Festival. Visit with freedom fighters, colonial artisans, music, contests, prizes, over 35 activities for the whole family. Schedule a school field trip and fulfill the federal requirement to teach the Constitution. Can you crack the spy codes used to win the Revolutionary War? Take home a founding document printed on the exact replica Isaiah Thomas used for the first Declaration of Independence. Register and compete in the Constitution Bowl. Join us September 17th through the 19th. Register at freedomslight.us. freedomslight.us. This event is completely free, now more than ever. We need to ensure Freedom's Light is not extinguished. Let's keep this light shining in the hearts and minds of our children. freedomslight.us. That's freedomslight.us.
All right, dry conditions, low humidity. The western states are melting down with fires. The smoke's blowing all the way to the east coast and beyond, and people are freaking. They say most unhealthy air quality ever on the planet. Approximately 4.6 million acres. California, Oregon, Washington, and seven other states. They say it's dry weather. One west coast governor said the only water in his state are tears from people who have lost their homes. Jay Inslee, or how do you say that guy's name? He's the governor of Washington State, Kurt. He has called his state's fires apocalyptic, Kurt. In an open letter to Donald Trump, he said it's a horrible situation. He wrote, quote, "Your refusal, President Trump, to address climate change will accelerate devastating climate change and fires like those we're seeing today." So now we're blaming it on President Trump. California Governor Gavin Newsom thanked Trump for federal help that the state received. But they say, is it due to climate change or poor management? Trump says poor management. The governors say climate change. Inslee, Newsom, and other West Coast governors and officials say that climate change is the reason for the increase in wildfires, Kurt. There you have it. The debate rages. We're going to debate the reason for the fires. And I don't think either of them are hitting on the real reason, Kurt. The cause isn't poor forest management, although that's part of it. The cause isn't climate change. The cause, in my opinion, is turning against God. Kurt? Now, Newsom said breathing the air in California is like smoking 20 packs of cigarettes. But wildfires are growing in number and intensity and will continue to do so, they say. Whatever's causing wildfires on the West Coast, there is no debate that they're getting worse. I agree with that. There were 43 wildfires recorded in California from 1980 to 1999, Kurt, so a 20-year span, or 19. There were 43 recorded wildfires. Guess how many there is from 2000 to 2019? Over 300. In the last 3 years, it's accelerated big time. Wildfires are out of control in the United States, and our survival depends on it. Do you want to respond, Kurt?
Well, I'll respond this way. 150,000, Sam. Now, what do you think I'm talking about when I say 150,000?
We're talking about California. Idea. Oh, okay.
150,000 is what I can estimate as the total number of babies being killed this year in California. Now, when the God of heaven says, "Thou shalt not kill," do you think there might be some, I guess you could say, some problems, at least if people don't keep that law? And I would say, this is according to the Guttmacher Institute, where they've estimated that in, the numbers go all over. The latest one they estimate was 2017, at 133,000, real close. They said 2014 was 160,000, 2011, 180,000, 2008, 215,000. These are, their guesses. But if you kill those babies, don't you think you would have, the old phrase, heck to pay, Sam, would kind of come to mind?
Well, it all depends if you want the truth or not, Kurt.
Of course, we're not going to talk about that because...
Kurt, do you want the truth or not?
Talk about global warming.
Do you want me to talk about how you hate women? And that's the reason that you have this hostile view about women's choices? See, are we going to accept the lie in the derail discussion, or are we going to embrace the truth? Is it true that it's, hey, the forests caused the fires, that, we didn't manage the forest properly? There's a grain of truth in that. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but it's the same people that are the environmental wackos, the global, climate change people that are the ones that didn't let us take care of the forests in the first place. Okay, but then are you going to believe that it's Donald Trump and he won't address climate change is the problem? Or are we going to take off the gloves and say, because we're violating the commandments of God, we have natural and man-made disasters of all kinds, and it's going to get worse. And because we're murdering a gazillion babies, hey, God does not like wholesale murder. And when you violate his laws and violate one of those Ten Commandments at a nationwide reality, you are going to have repercussions for that. You're going to at some point be required to be accountable. Okay, it all depends on if you're willing to talk about the truth, Kurt. We're one of the very few media organizations that'll really talk about the truth on this, right?
Well, I don't hear it anywhere else. Do you, Sam?
I hear WorldNet Daily doing a pretty good job. I hear Breitbart. I hear us. I hear a few talk show hosts from time to time. But for the most part, no, and that's the point. What media are the people going to listen to and back and support?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I sadly think that we're just supporting the mainstream press. Ben Swan's doing a good job talking about it, Kurt. Doing a phenomenal job, I might add. But, there's very, very few of us, comparatively speaking, and if we could get the support and the finances and different things to really tell the tale, we could make a tremendous difference. But it's very difficult. But no matter how difficult it is, we're gonna connect the dots for you and point to the real solutions. The real answer to deal with this fire stuff that's out of control, and by the way, it is, and it's going to get worse. I agree with those people that say that, Kurt. Because the more you violate the commands of God, the more we, in my opinion, double down in and chase wickedness and evil, the worse it's going to get for us, my friend. The Lord is going to try to bring us in remembrance of our duty and of the solution. And it's for our sakes. He's going to try to bring us back to him. And this is the way he does it. He says, look, your life's going to really be horrible. But the answer is to repent and turn to God. And the prayer event coming up this Saturday is a great example of the point. TheReturn.org. And I'm telling you, Kurt's right on this. You think, well, the dead babies and abortion have nothing to do with the fires. And I think that Kurt's right. Yes, they do. And the link is direct. It's not even an indirect link. But nobody else is willing to compare those things and draw the real conclusions. The climate might be changing, Kurt. But why? Why is it changing? Is it changing because Kurt Crosby drove a car down the road yesterday and sold honey for a living? Is it because Sam Bushman, went to a warehouse and worked on automation of a warehouse? Or is it because we're violating the commandments of God? Or is it just because there's too much underbrush because the environmentalists won't clean up the forest from time to time? See? Well, what's the cause of all these things? What are the cause and effect? I believe the author of our liberty can protect us and heal us and heal our land. Imagine, could climate change be healed? And if so, how would it be healed? Would it be to force Sam into his house and not let him leave with no air conditioning? Or might it be to get on our knees and repent to Almighty God and pray for his guidance and protection? Can God help us discover new ways to be less environmentally hostile as a people? If we pray for guidance and get up and go to work and he inspires our minds with new revelation for technologies, advancements, etc., that could make a tremendous difference. Could he do that for us? I think the answer is a resounding yes, Kurt. But I bring that up and they say, you're a radical climate denier, buddy. Get out of here. Shut up. Go away. You have too many kids anyway. You're ruining the planet. It's all your fault. You probably like Donald Trump, don't you, too? Get him. Kill him. Take him out. Beat him up because of his MAGA hat. That's really going on. I kid you not. Headline says protesters pressure bystanders to choose a side. Did you see this, Kurt? The protests are moving into white residential neighborhoods, they say, Kurt.
Yes.
Where activists demand that people pick a side.
Coming to a theater near you, huh?
Unfortunately, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This guy was just kicking back in his neighborhood, man. And the protesters were coming and being super loud, and the guy didn't know what the protesters were about. As he got closer, you know what he saw, Kurt?
What?
His neighbors had an American flag, buddy.
Ooh.
Yeah, now this Mr. Moses guy's black. He runs a nonprofit group in the Portland, Oregon area. They said, take the flag down. No. If you don't take the flag down, we're going to come and burn it down. They wouldn't leave. They said, if you don't get it done now, we're going to burn the house down. We don't go around terrorizing folks, he said. Anyway, the bottom line is they're coming into your neighborhoods, ladies and gentlemen. They really are. It is crazy town. And in your neighborhoods, protesters are now pressuring bystanders to pick a side. And they're coming into white neighborhoods. Now you can say, well, thank heavens it's not in my state and it's not in my neighborhood. And I say, for right now, you're right. But over time, you will be wrong. And over time, they will come to your neighborhood. And these ne'er-do-wells, these haters of liberty, Kurt, these haters of liberty are truly going to create a civil war in America. And I had prayed we could avoid this, Kurt. But I don't think we can avoid it. You want to know why?
Sure.
Because we, the people, are doing nothing about it. We're just going, thank heavens it's not at a theater near me. But what happened when it is, Kurt? What happens when it really is at a theater near us? The protests are moving into white residential neighborhoods. Now, I'm not just mad because it's moving to the white neighborhoods. I've been mad about it in any neighborhood. But the problem is the people are going to wake up to the awful state in which they find themselves in too late, Kurt. They're going to deny it, and say, oh, it's not me, it's not my neighborhood, glad I don't have to deal with it, until it's too late. I pray that doesn't happen. Final story before the end of the hour. Quote Jill Biden. That's Joe Biden's wife right now. But Jill Biden's first husband, a guy by the name of Bill Stevenson. Kurt, you got this one?
Yeah, he's basically saying that, the Biden's love story, if you will, was just a lie, and that he's going to support the president, Sam.
Yes, sir. So. And he says it's a lie because he was married to Jill, and Joe was their friend. And before you know it, his wife, Jill, that's Bill's wife, Jill, and Joe started having an affair. Well, that's Jill and Joe, say that they met on a blind date and things just grew from there and they got married. Well, this guy's saying that's an absolute lie love story. It isn't true. It's not the way it happened at all. Mm-hmm. Kurt, will these allegations be discussed? Will Joe be asked any hardcore questions about this? Will the media dig to the bottom of it, or will they just simply ignore?
I don't think they will. Do you?
No. I think they'll just ignore it, and they'll laugh at the people making the allegations. They'll just be like, it's because you hate Joe Biden, right?
Move along, yeah.
They won't do a thing about it. I wish it weren't true, but I predict it is. Sadly, I think Kurt's right on this. But what a sad tale. Jill Biden. She wants to be the first lady, Kurt.
Yeah.
Of course, are we allowed to drill into women's indiscretions? Maybe we ought to talk about Jill Ann Hill. Mm-hmm. Just wondering. All right, 2 hours in the can, hard-hitting talk. Hopefully it was educational, informative, delightful, entertaining, all of the above. This is serious business, ladies and gentlemen. I pray we don't have a civil war, but I'm predicting that too many fault lines are being crossed and nobody is standing up for the right side to where they will destroy this nation if we let them. Will we stand up? I pray the answer is yes. LovingLiberty.net. For Sam and Kurt, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic.